Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. I want to say Requiescat Cat, Requiescat in Pace, Frederick Forsyth. So I found out just yesterday that Forsyth had died at the age of 86. So Frederick McCarthy Forsyth, he was a renowned novelist, publisher of The Cobra List, The Devil's Alternative, The Day of the Jackal, The Dogs of War, The Fourth Protocol, The Ardesophile, and so on. So wrote these thrillers. They were fast moving. I read his autobiography years ago. I actually met him in about 2003. And what a fantastic chap. So goodness, not a very tall guy. And he was a real Eurosceptic. He'd been a journalist in Germany. He said he didn't like the way the phrase "Ich liebe Deutschland" is how it was stigmatized, as though you're a Nazi for saying that. Things like that. And he'd joined the Conservative Party the day after the 1997 defeat. There was no way anyone could say that that's because he was jumping on the bandwagon, because the Tory Party was its lowest possible ebb. Helped found the Young Britons Foundation, some a man of right-wing views. So Forsyth, he's born in the Garden of England, Kent. And it was a fascinating story told about his father, who'd been managing a rubber plantation in Malaya in the 1930s, and he saved the life of a Japanese child because there was a small Japanese immigrant community there. And the Japanese father said, "I can't buy you a gift because I'm a very, very poor man, but I can give you advice to thank you. Leave the country, go home, get out of Malaya." "Why?" "I can't tell you what. Get out of Malaya now. You're a good man. For your own sake, leave the country." And his father did go back to the United Kingdom, which saved his life, because the Japanese invaded in 1942, and the British civilians were there. They're sent to those slave labor camps where many died, because Japan had been sending sleeper agents all over Southeast Asia from after the First World War, knowing they would invade at some point. They didn't know when, but the sleeper agents to be purchasing maps, to be possibly photographing things, to be learning the local language, to be spying out military installations or communications networks and so on. So when the Japanese landed, there was a Japanese agent on the coast in the middle of the night, flashing a torch, signaling, guiding them through the jungle or whatever. Could be interpreted if needs be. So this guy was a sleeper agent, but obviously he couldn't tell Mr. Forsyth that. So Frederick Forsyth was an only child, and then he went to Tunbridge School. He was very gifted at languages. He was offered, he had an interview at Cambridge University, the only person I've ever known to turn down such a place. And he wanted to go straight to journalism after his national service in the Royal Air Force. In all those days, all British boys had to do some of that. And one of his young comrades was killed in an air crash. So that's it. He did some journalism qualification. He said nobody ever asked to see this document. He was superb at French, German, Spanish, Russian, and so forth. And he talked about going to Spain, living in there with a Spanish family to improve things, meeting a German woman about 20 years his senior. This is probably when he's in his late teens, and having an intimate relationship with her and stuff like that. And she used to sing the Horst Wessel lied as she was reaching climax. And so on, having to interpret between some Glaswegian sailors and the Spaniards, and he found the Glaswegian accent harder to comprehend than Andalusian, and so on. So that's it. And then it was also in the Nigerian Civil War, you know, when there was fighting in Biafra, and he was revolted by the British government policy to support the Nigerian government, no matter what they're doing, deliberately starving but Biafran children to death, and so on. So he'd been helpful to MI6, an agent for them, that you know, foreign affairs was a foreign spying organization and so on. So he'd lost his job by being too frank for what he thought was a moral cause, because he was working for the BBC in Nigeria. He came back, and there he was, unemployed in the United Kingdom. What was he going to do? For the very first time, he decided to write a novel, and wrote it really, really fast. Writing The Day of the Jackal, because he'd been in France a lot in the early 1960s, part time of the withdrawal from Algeria, and l'Organisation de l'Armée Secrète were these French ultra nationalists who took the side of les pieds noirs, literally black feet, the white people who'd settled in Algeria, French citizens, some ethnically French, some actually Spanish, Italian, Maltese, and so on, but nevertheless believed in l'Algérie française, and were very miffed when Algeria was granted independence. And the million or so pieds noirs, almost all of them moved to France. But they wanted vengeance. They wanted to assassinate Charles de Gaulle. The Day of the Jackal is about the OAS hiring a British guy, Charles Calthrop, to carry out the assassination, and detectives on his trail made it a very well appreciated film about 1970, starring God, what's the guy's name? It'll come to me. I can't remember. The Harrovian, the guys in the Coldstream Guards, his brother's a well-known actor. It's Edward Fox, who plays the would-be assassin. That French actor with a British name who plays this chubby detective and so on. And obviously there really were attempts to assassinate Charles de Gaulle, but not using a British assassin who just doesn't believe the cause is just a hired gun. So what people really appreciate about Forsyth's novel is the technical accuracy about the guns, explaining how criminals do it because he got to know a lot of gangsters and so on. It's got pace, verve, it's dynamic. It's not too wordy. I suppose it's journalese. That's how it's written. So he made his money that way. Oh, goodness. And then the Odessa Fire later on about former SS officers who escape. And there really is, well, there really is an organization called Odessa. Not as in the, it's not named that because the Ukrainian port is really just an acronym. The Dogs of War, which is about white mercenaries overthrowing a government in Africa, the sort of thing that happened a lot in the 1960s and 1970s, then turned into a film. So many more such films. In the late 1970s, tax was very, very high under the Labour government in the United Kingdom, and he shifted to Dublin. Forsyth was a quarter Irish. I tell you, his grandfather came from Cork. Hurrah! And his grandfather, about the 1880s, as a teenager, stowed away on a ship out of Cork and been discovered by the captain and told, "You have a choice. You either get a bloody good hiding and dubbed at the next port or join the crew." So chose to become a sailor. But so Forsyth was an Irish citizen. Well, he didn't need to be. The British citizen could live in the Republic of Ireland. Moved to the Republic. But then the IRA had a habit of kidnapping wealthy people to extract ransoms in the 70s. And he had dinner with Charlie Haughey. Charles Haughey was the Taoiseach at the time, isn't the Prime Minister. And they went to, not to Haughey's main house, to another house he owned in Dublin. And there was a woman there who was clearly the hostess, along with Charlie Haughey, not his wife. Because Charlie Haughey had a mistress, Terry Keane, as in Teresa Keane, a journalist who's very well known for her Keen Eye column. And it was an open secret in Dublin political and journalistic circles that the Taoiseach was carrying on with another woman. But nobody dared publish it, and that was it. And then, he was to Forsyth said, "I'm thinking of leaving Ireland because the risk of being kidnapped by the IRA is too high." So Haughey said, "Let me leave this to me." And Haughey phoned back a day later and said, "You know, I've used my channel to speak to the IRA. They give me an absolute guarantee they will never kidnap you." But nevertheless, Forsyth didn't trust it. He returned to the United Kingdom in the 80s when Thatcher became Prime Minister because the tax rate wasn't so high. So that was him, a fascinating character. You know, a man of letters, someone who really accomplished things, who lived a very active and exciting life, who advocated for the cause that he believed in. God, I wish I'd met him more. I wish I could go to the funeral or something like that. All right. Thank you very much. And I recommend you read some Frederick Forsyth novels. He also explained how criminals used to get false passports. And this is what even the KGB used to do. Go to a graveyard, find the grave of someone who was born the same year as you, roughly, but died as a baby, and being the same sex as yourself, obviously. Armed with a person's date of birth, if it states it, apply for a birth certificate pretending to be dead baby. That will be issued to you. With this birth certificate, you can then apply for a passport using your own passport photo, and that's it. You've got that. It's not till 2004 they close that loophole. When they issue birth certificates, they also check that no death certificate has been issued by for that same person. Right. Okay. Goodbye then.